Welcome. Welcome to the BBOL show featuring NJ Chat with Nikita and Jewel. I'm Nikita.
And I'm Jewel.
Welcome, everybody. We're going to be doing Beauty in Black today. I know that's not one of our norms, but let's keep it a buck. These aren't normal times. We are in season two. We brought this up in the rewind. And since we feel very strongly that, you know, I'm sure Jewel can speak on this. We will probably do our previous show later on if you all have been following us. But censorship, we don't think it's right, and we support the writers and we support what the writers are doing. So we're going to do Beauty in Black, which is on Netflix, which is a Tyler Perry show. And man, it's something, child. I never would have thought I would be. I'm so intrigued by Tyler Perry. Sometimes he has hits. Sometimes he has misses. This happens to be a hit for me. Jewel, can you bring us in on this show? Because it is something else, girl.
Oh, is it something? It is definitely something. Beauty in Black. We are in season two. You're absolutely right. And I agree with you with the Tyler Perry. Sometimes he's got hits. Sometimes he's got misses. For me, this is... Oh, I want to say this is a hit, but you know, those kind of guilty pleasure hits where you watching and you telling only your good friends you're watching. That's the kind of hit this is. It's juicy. It's salacious. It's a soap opera, but something you're supposed to be watching late at night. So let's get into it. Beauty in Black is an American drama television series created and directed, executive produced, written. All of the episodes are also written and directed by Tyler Perry. It is currently in its second season, part one of season two, and it stars Crystal Stewart, Taylor Pelador Williams, and they're two women coming from two different paths and walks of life, supposedly for now, and they're colliding. We have a big conglomerate, mega family, wealthy wit, rich. They own quite a few businesses. They're known all over for the products that they sell for Black folks in the community. And they're kind of holding it down, as if you're familiar with the old show Dynasty, they are the Carringtons of the show. And that obviously means it's full of drama, but on the outside, they just look like elite, rich, wonderful, successful Black excellence. And the entire company is run by a young lady who is running the show. And we find out after a few episodes that this not even her blood family. She was married into the drama. And because of how quick-witted, smart, and I guess conniving she was able to rise to the top and run the company. The company's not doing so great because they run a hair perming. That's their main product, is hair products. And you know, art reflects life. Life reflects art, because we know that they got lawsuits all over the place because perm products are harming us in the community. Well, Tyler decided to have life be reflected in this. And we start off with a real acrimonious relationship. The young woman that plays the CEO, we see her standing up in front of the news broadcast media and, you know, defending her product. It doesn't harm anybody. And there's a lot of women protesting in the wake of all of this, because they're being harmed, they're being hurt, it's harming them. And one young lady is a lawyer, and she's gonna bring this lawsuit to make them pay for all the harm they've caused within the community. Mallory Bellery is the name of the character. Crystal Stewart is the name of the actress that plays the CEO for the Bellery company. And in all of this drama, as we see this dynamic family, we have the heads of the family, right? The heads of the family are run by Richard Lawson. He plays Norman. And then we have Rico Ross. He plays Horace. And they're the two brothers that ran this company. And then one of their wives, because turns out you find out big mess, big drama. She was married to one brother. She cheated on one brother to go with another brother. And it was a real problem, but she owns high stakes within the company. And it's wow. This, we have ups, we have downs, we have everything. Okay. But we find out that the company is not as legitimate as most people may suspect. Not only are they harming individuals with their product, and they're going through litigation within the community and internationally, but on the back end, these individuals, the fathers that own the company through blood and lineage, have sons. And those individuals have also been messing up and doing nefarious deeds. In doing this, we see that on the back end, we have some sex trafficking. We have conniving and ties up in the court. And we have a whole strip club being used to funnel nefarious funds to keep the company afloat and other people's pockets lined. Okay. And while we're in this mess of drama, we are now tossed into a brand new group of individuals. The main star being Kimmy Taylor Palladori Williams. Rain is her best friend. Amber Rain Smith plays Rain. And Angel, played by Xavier Smalls. We find out that the scam and how we fill up the polls and the bars and the other stuff in this funneling racket is young folks, very, very young folks, do something stupid, as often is the case. And they find themselves in front of a judge. But in the interim, because they're usually runaways or down on their luck or not really capable of maneuvering the system, and let's face it, they're doing something stupid, right? That's why they're in front of a judge. Well, the judge is in the pocket of the big CEOs that are funneling this money and gives them an ultimatum. Either you're going to pay hard time for this silly, stupid crime, or we'll hold on to the record and you have to run, you know, pay off your debt through the club. So we're talking about possession or something equally is not so strenuously big being swept under the rug for you to use your body, basically pimping out these young kids. And they're really, really young, like 18, 19, 20. I would even say younger than that, but you know, you have to continue watching the show to see that, okay? And as often is the case, once you get into the life where you're criming to cover up a crime that you thought was so much worse than it was, you end up doing more crime. It's like crime upon crime. It's a pyramid of crime. And it's like, oh my gosh, are we ever going to get out? And that's how they feel. These young kids are being overwhelmed because they cannot find a way out. And every time they try to get out, they're pulled back in with something worse. We're in season two now. So in season two, we have people deciding they ain't about this life no more. They don't care. Burn it all down. We're going to leave. We're going to live. We're going to figure it out. In the interim of getting from season one to season two, we find out that the main oldest legacy gentleman, Horace is how we know him, Horace Bellary, Rico Ross, he is dying and he is disgusted. He's disgusted with his children. He's disgusted with his family. He can't believe that all the legacy of this family is going to be left to them once he's no longer here. So he starts conniving and creating a method of sticking it to him and taking all the money and giving it to someone he feels is more deserving. And he runs into the club by happenstance. It's not really something that he does, right? Things happen and he meets this young lady and she's slightly honest with him and doesn't let him get taken advantage of. And above not getting taken advantage of, she also doesn't take his crap. Whatever he says to her, she just ignores it and says, I hear what you're saying, but this is the facts and this is the truth. And he kind of likes that because usually he comes from the air of everyone around him is yes, sir, yes, ma'am, right? And they let him do whatever, whatever. As we get into this new platonic friendship, we realize that she is trying to get out of the circumstance. He wants to invest in something better, or so we think, and stick it to the family that's really evil. What? Why did we say that? Because with a bad foundation, you get nothing but crumbling stacks of heaps of drama. It has been a whirlwind. Like I said, we have Taylor Polidori Williams, Crystal Stewart, Amber Rain Smith, Xavier Smalls, Julian Horton, Stephen G. Norfleet, Richard Lawson, Terrell Carter, Charles Malik Whitfield, Debbie Morgan, Rico Ross, Brian Tanaka, he played a big role as security guard this season. Shannon Wallace, George Middlebrook, Bailey Tippin, Greg Clarkson, and so many others. We're going to get to some visiting guest stars as well, because we have a lot to cover. But for now, CEO, legacy family doing nefarious deeds, funneling all the money through a strip club. The two worlds collide, the strippers, the pimps, the hoes, and the CEOs gonna battle it out for who gets the legacy of the Bellary money. Nikita, what did you think? Where are we?
Thanks. Thanks, Jewel. That was a very long breakdown. I think as we go through these episodes, I think we will come to realize that I think what Mr. Perry was trying to do here, it's interesting. Season one was really good, which is why obviously I got drawn in season two. This story shows that even the underdog can win. Now, in episode one, it's called Crowned in Beauty. I want you all to pay attention to the lead characters here that Jewel went over. And thank you for that amazing intro, Jewel. The cast for me, I watch a lot of Tyler Perry stuff. Let me just go here and then I'll really go into the episode guide. Sometimes I get sidetracked because everything is so amazing. But I really liked that he took some people from All My Children, Angie, right? Debbie Morgan. She's playing her role. I like Rico Ross. He's playing his role. And some of you will know him from P-Valley, which I saw him on P-Valley and I was shocked because I just started watching it. Don't hate me. It's new for me. Charles Malik Whitfield is always on an own jam, and bringing him in, and he plays Jules. Let me tell you about these actors. They are playing their role so well. I almost was like trying to distinguish whether I really like them as human beings because they're playing their roles so well. Even Debbie Morgan, which we know is Angie, she will be Angie forever. And so she's playing the heck out of her role. Christy Stewart as Mallory. Ooh, wee. She got nasty personality. Tyler's really picks these people. And I think as we go on, you'll find that I have some complaints and Jewel will have some complaints. But the reality is this show draws you in because it's happening in real life, right? About the hair care products. And that's what this is about. The lawsuit about the hair care products. In season two, episode one, Crowned in Beauty, Kimmy's sudden rise. Because remember, in season one, horror shocks everybody by getting married to Kimmy. And everybody, including me, was like, what? What are you doing, sir? Okay. But we knew, right? We knew he was going to do that. And we go, okay. All right, Horace. He's going to get him back. Horace is smart, too, you know? And he respects Kimmy, but she has a trust issue with him, which I think is very, very, very interesting. So in this one, the first episode, she's like, you know, call me Mrs. Bellary, which, you know, obviously, old girl's not going to like that because she's always, look, there's three Mrs. Bellarys, right? Crystal Stewart, who plays Mallory, and Debbie Morgan, who plays the other Mrs. Bellary, the mom, the matriarch of the crew. And so it's all very interesting to watch this dynamic. All right. So when Horace's backroom maneuvers hit the family where it hurts the most, the bottom line. Homeboy's about his business, his money. Horace, as Jewel said, is dying from cancer. And so he is trying to, you know, train up, you know, Kimmy. And he's got Rain there, and he's got the sister there who has been saved from trafficking from Jules. This show, my friends would be like, I know you're not watching this show, but I'm all wrapped up in this show. I mean, it's not my normal horror. It's not my normal thriller set. But what this is, man, this is like, I don't know, it's one of those shows that you watch and you're like, this is crazy. I watched The Oval, okay? And my family's like, you still watching that? You hate to watch it, but you're watching it. This is kind of a different kind of bar, because my favorite actors and actresses are in it. And when Kimmy comes out into the waiting room and she's like, do this or do that, and when Rain comes out, I'm like, yeah, I was just strippers like last week. What's going on? Just out here now all of a sudden you're telling these people who have all this money, who are running this organization, which is going to go bankrupt from the lawsuits if they don't get it together. You know, Horace wants to talk to you. So he calls the lawyer in, and the lawyer has his own secret. He's hiding his situation with the other son, who is out and proud, you know, gay gentleman. And that character, it played by Stephen Norfleet, you know, he's Charles Bellary, the gay son, who is, you know, given lots of disrespect by the family, but he's also super, super messy. And I'm just like, wow, bro. I mean, can we get it together? You know, you have all of this money and you're not, you worried about the wrong thing, my brother. You worried about the wrong thing. And his secret lover, the lawyer, is trying to, you know, keep the family together. He knows all the family secrets. Problem is, family doesn't know this one secret, even though I think Horace does, you know, because Horace is also living that. Lawyer Varney, played by Terrell Carter. I thought it was interesting how Mr. Perry had him play his character. I mean, this is a big buff dude, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, wow, why is he letting homeboy just slap him around? I don't know. It seems to me that's a lot of restraint for this young man. So when Lawyer Varney goes into the hospital room to go and talk to Mr. Horace, then, you know, you see Rain, you know, out there. And then when Kimmy comes out, Kimmy has a whole back straight, head up dynamic, because Horace is teaching her to be a boss instead of being bossed around. And, you know, the whole truth about the situation, which, please watch season one as we go through this. I'm hoping that you realize this could be very important to watch season one. This is season two, part one, and there's going to be a part two. I kind of like how Mr. Perry, at first I was like, why are you splitting it up, doing it that way? Because, you know, we don't really have that kind of patience and or that kind of time, okay? But it draws you in, like I said. So we go in season two, episode one, everybody finds out they're married. They find out they might lose their checkbook, their good living. In episode two, when the tables turn, Kimmy, Rain, Sylvie, you know, Kimmy is the one married to Horace. Rain is her best friend who has gone through this whole sex trafficking situation with her, because literally that's what it is, right? Sylvie is the sister who was kidnapped by Jules. And, you know, now they find out they're in this luxurious lifestyle. And it's like, oh, my God, this is really happening. They go to the crib. They see all this nice stuff. If I have any kind of thing to say about how Mr. Perry did this is, come on, bruh, you know that we have more respect and manners than that. I don't like the stereotype sometimes. In perspective, yes, this is a TV show. This isn't real life. But still, it kind of makes me feel like we could have done this a little better. Yes, it's a nice house. Not my taste, but I guess for them. And they go in and things that are being... The only one I think that acts kind of appropriately is the young teenage girl at this point before she acts inappropriately, right? Kimmy's a hothead. I don't like how... they go back and forth with this when they, you know, she's right not to trust, but the absolute not trust. This dude is giving you a black card. This dude is giving you a solid place. This dude is literally Horace being the dude, by the way, made you the CEO, or you're the CFO, I believe. So, wow, you know, you're going to be running this company that in the very beginning, that was your dream just to work at this company. Now you're the head of the company. Jewel, what do you think? And what do you think about those two episodes that I just went into? Because in this, there are 8 episodes and we can cut them down and, you know, let you all see and hear. But I tell you, when you watch it, you're either going to be going, I think not. And I won't say what I was really, I know you lying or nah, bruh. Or, oh my God, it was a lot of that for me. It was a lot of, I can't even, Tyler, come on, sir. Oh, wow. I did a lot of that. And as a black woman watching this, I was like, ugh, sometimes, baby, sometimes. Jewel, you have the mic.
Yeah, I will definitely say that I had a lot of those moments for me. And thank you for the breakdown in Crowned in Beauty and When the Tables Turn. I think I agree with everything you've said so far, Nikita. I think there are moments where you kind of tilt your head and wonder why those are the stereotypes you want to highlight, Mr. Perry. I mean, look, it's good TV. I will say that because I'm watching it. And this is season 2. Ain't nobody told me I had to watch season 2, but I wanted to see it. And I'll be here for part 2. So it definitely has gotten my attention. I think when we, a lot of it is laced in believability because we are in the moment now where we have this in the news, right? We are seeing lawsuits for the hair products. We are seeing people being sex trafficked. We are seeing people going to the hospital. If we are to catch up, Rain was saved by Horace Bellery, Rigo Ross, as well as Angel, Xavier Smalls, and Kimmy, Taylor Palladori Williams. They were all saved by Mr. Horace from this stripper club laundering, sex trafficking, entrepreneurship endeavor. And they had been doing this for so long that Rain had already, her best friend, had already suffered the mental gymnastics of, I'm not making enough money on the polls. I'm not. And she had already been subjected to, in order to make more money, you have to look the part. So what you gonna do about your parts? And in season 1, we're left with her going to a seedy motel and getting flat repair injected into her buttocks, her derriere posterior, her B-U-T-T booty, okay? From like the Home Depot and the Ace Hardwares, you know, fix a flat, basically, injected into her butt. And she came back. She danced for a little bit, season one, obviously. And in the most grotesque, saddest, twisted, horrendous, horrific ways, she fell, splattered everything, everywhere, and had to be rushed to the hospital. All of this is happening while the drama between Kimmy and Jules and the CEO family getting their stuff conflicted as well. And Mr. Horace is in and out, trying to figure out what's wrong with this Kimmy lady. Eventually, he finds out the whole story. Like Nikita said, marries Kimmy. And yeah, Kimmy doesn't trust him. Because, I mean, why would you? When you hear that this family is running the strip club, they're sex trafficking you, your best friend, your best friend's best friend, and everybody else, and they've been doing that for years, why would you trust the head of the company? Turns out he didn't know anything about it. He really, truthfully didn't know about this. He knew about a lot of things, just not this. Saves Miss Rain, pays for all her hospital stuff, and Rain and Kimmy are constantly in conflict. Rain says, when has a rich person ever actually done anything to help us and we are actually being helped? And Kimmy's like, we just went from one bad situation to now having to give back this debt in this situation. And it all changes because Horace marries her, right? Things happen where Angel is caught in the shuffle because in the ending of season one, somebody gets caught in the crossfire. Angel gets stuck in the wrong place at the wrong time in a car. And Jules, who is their security guard, right? Whitfield, Charles Malik Whitfield. He is the one actually running everything. He is the one pocketing everything, holding and filing all the secrets, making sure that he got everybody accounted for. And when the time comes to hit and run, he got his check and then his backup check, his insurance policy, their insurance policy, everybody insurance policy ready. That when you ready to try and turn on me, I'm ready. That's how he's been running it. And when the time comes for when the tables turn, Horace saves Angel again, because as Nikita said, there are secrets here. You know, Stephen Gene Norfleet as Charles, he's openly gay and he's in the relationship with attorney Varney Terrell Carter. But we see Rick Ross, Horace's character, he kind of wonders why he lived the life he did when it has not brought him happiness and it has not brought him peace. And he realizes that maybe, just maybe, now at the last moments of his life, he wants to know what it would feel like to feel the way he was meant to feel like. Very closeted. Let me just put it that way. And we're at the point now where Horace says, you know what? Maybe I want to live. Maybe I'm not going to give it all away. But what I want to do is I want to invest in this young lady, give her a better life, and hopefully be there to see it, because revenge is a dish best served cold, and he wants to let it simmer, let it cool, and let it see how it plays out. Kimmy's sister also wants to trust Horace. And so she finds out a way to maybe give him some hope. So he's like, all right, here's some money for you. Here's some money for you. Here's some money for you. Rain, Angel, Kimmy. And all y'all can stay in my house. And I'm going to go and see if I can get taken care of. But don't tell nobody. So he goes off to Italy, since the little girl told him that there's some stuff there to help him better. And she goes in, like Nikita says, as this reformed stripper who who is calling the shots. Everybody expected her to fall flat on her face. Everybody expected that this was not going to go well. And in the back end, we have so many other dominoes happening. We have Blaze of Beauty. Norma decides to cut some loose ends. Mallory and Varney decide to have dinner and they discuss it. Varney's secret gets loose that he's dating Charles. The mom finds out that's a problem because she doesn't like where things are going. Nobody likes that Kimmy has married Horace. Nobody likes that she is the new Miss Bellary. Nobody likes that she is now the new COO running the show, because everybody thought that he was going to die and they were going to get their shares and everybody was going to go up a few notches. Debbie Morgan plays Olivia. She is the ex-wife of Rico Ross Horace. And again, he's off in Italy getting his treatments. And she is upset. She's going back into drinking. She finds Varney having dinner with Mallory at some highfalutin restaurant. And she's like, she's gonna blow it up. She forces them into uncomfortable situations, brings them home. Mallory finds out that Varney and Charles are in a relationship. He tells Mallory, who is the old CEO, that her husband Roy knows, and he has been using it and will be continuously using it against him. They get home. Attorney Varney drops Mallory home, and she says, look, man, I know Roy knows. Just don't drive all the way back to Indiana. Just stay with your man. Okay? Nobody here cares. Nobody here is going to make a problem. Just stay with him. He thinks he's going to stay there, but him and Charles have a fight, and he leaves Charles with some rando dude, and Varney goes home, all the way home. And in the morning, Horace Bellary and Kimmy have created the introduction to the new CEO. She's going to take the reins. She's going to call a meeting. And by the bylaws, now, one of the things that are the most important is in the legacy and in the obtaining of stocks, shares, and generational wealth, in order for you to maintain your spot generationally in this wealth, you must not commit felonies, do anything illegal that would sully the name of the Bellaries, or everything will be taken from you. So all this stuff that we know as audience members, it's not supposed to come to light. Nobody's supposed to know this is happening, okay? Because the moment that happens, that's it. They lose all their shares, all their generational wealth, and they just broke, okay? All right. So Horace has an all-nighter with Kimmy discussing how she's going to go in there and know all the personalities of the individuals that are going to try and test her. She's going to shake it up, show them who's boss, and take no prisoners, just jugular, all of them, get them, gut them, and own it. And we end up with that for the next chapter. It's quite a ride, Nikita.
Yeah, I don't know what there is left to say. I think that, interestingly enough, in the process of all of this, we cannot forget that they thought Angel was dead. And all this, just Jules was trying to silence everything. But, you know, Horace likes Angel. And then Kimmy lost her bananas and started acting out. This is the part where I would like to ask Mr. Perry, I mean, is this what you think women too? I mean, because she's very high, very low, right? One minute she's meek and doing, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then when she finds out something, like her sister gets kidnapped or she thinks Angel has been killed and that Horace ordered the hit, she just loses her mind and goes out here and wrecks this expensive vehicle, okay? I mean, she's just like impractical, in my opinion. It's like extreme behavior. I think that that type of writing is what kind of throws me off a little bit, because we want to see this young lady excel, be pragmatic, be logical, and yeah, be upset that your boy might have got killed, which we find out later he did not get killed, because he was lucky. And when the hit was taking place, he threw himself and, you know, the body fell on top of him. So, you know, horses, yay, angels alive, everybody's happy, right? And I also think that, I don't know how everyone feels about this. Jewel and I discussed this. We know that Rain got those injections. Now, in Georgia, this actually happened in real life. There was someone who was giving these cement injections and harming a lot of people. You know, T.S. Madison plays this character who is doing these injections, and Rain almost died because of it. I think as I watched that interaction, okay, I had mixed feelings. And it will be interesting to see how everyone else feels about this, as a woman, you know, watching that. I felt a lot of different things. But I also feel like she got her comeuppance. She got what she deserved for giving people those injections, because that is a thing. And that is I guess what we say, what, the price of beauty? Well, that shouldn't be the price of beauty, in my opinion. And I was watching that, and I was curious how that was going to turn out, and how the role was going to be played. She played the Daga, and interestingly enough, when Brian Tanaka, Officer Alex, and I think some of you all know who Brian Tanaka is. I won't give that tea. I was talking about that. You will have to research that tea yourself, honey. But, you know, Brian Tanaka plays Alex, who's escorting Kimmy and them around. And he went with Rain, and part of the trust, right? Bam, 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 takes out T.S. Madison and her little nurse helper, and thank God saves the young lady. But my feeling is they're going to have to find that young lady, because Jules is now looking for the young lady that was going to get the butt injections. I also think that there's a view of how Black women should be or shouldn't be. And this, the important thing about this is, I think, one, this is really happening. People are getting cancer from these hair things, you know, chemicals. Two, women are being sex trafficked. Young Black girls and adult women are being sex trafficked and being put in these positions. This judge, you know, was part of it. Obviously, Jules, who's a police officer, you have the police involved in it. And then these corporate people, Roy, right? He's the rich son. I mean, and also the brother-in-law, or actually Horace's brother. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, as funny as some of this is and as terrible as some of this is like, these things are happening, but I don't really think sometimes that how we show ourselves on film has to be like this. I will say that Taylor Poehler Dowry, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, but she's doing a great job playing Kimmy. My only complaint, and I hope that if there's a season three, I hope Mr. Perry recognizes that there shouldn't be these extremes if this young lady is supposed to run this corporate, right? But I understand he writes his own stuff as he sees it in his view. I don't want to be the person that jumps on the bandwagon of how his view is, because I'm watching this show, you know? But I do feel dismayed sometimes by it. Like, bruh, come on, man. You don't have to write these ladies like this. Look, I watched The Oval. That was stressful. Now, how women are seen sometimes in his movies. And he's done a lot of movies. I will say, though, if you watch Ruth and Boaz, which is coming out on Netflix, I think you will enjoy that. I think you will enjoy that a great deal. That's coming out on Netflix on September 26th. I want to make sure and put that out there. But when I look at this show, you know, this is like a cool soap opera, and I wish you could like have it like that, like a soap opera about this corporate family in the hair care business and how messy it is. But, you know, I think some of it is very stereotypical. And wouldn't it be nice if you just wouldn't do things like have a young Black man call Butler the N-word through the whole show? Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't do that? Wouldn't it be nice if, you know, as brilliant as Mr. Perry is, he would recognize that that stereotype negates who we are as Black people. And the butler doing the job that he is doing asks the young brother, hey, can you just call me by my name? And he's just using, that's a stereotype. You know, even the younger generation, not all, but most, in coming in a situation where they inherit a tremendous amount of money or put in this luxury situation, would not poop where they eat, because you are literally disrespecting this man's butler or servant. You are literally disrespecting this man's home. You know, getting in bed with your shoes on and clothes on, your outside clothes on. He gives you a Black card. You go out there and you spend all this money. Now, I don't know. I've never been a gigolette. I don't know what it is when people, but I know how I was raised, and I like to think that they were raised differently. The idea that a young brother put in this situation would be using the N-word so recklessly, or the young lady using the N-word so recklessly, that took a lot of restraint, I think, as actors, you know, saying and playing these roles. I would ask, even though, and let's be clear, because this is what someone would say, but you watched it. You're right, I did watch it. It's entertainment, but I can still be critical of the entertainment that I watch, because I think it can be better. I think that the person that makes it is better, and I think it's a good show, and we want to keep seeing the show. What we don't want to do is have someone who is not us watching it thinking this is who we are, because it's not who we are. Jewel, you have the mic.
No, I agree with you. Thank you so much. Absolutely. I think there's a lot to be discussed about. So I hope people take it for what it is and watch it and voice their opinion as well, so that things that need to be changed can be, and we don't live down to the stereotypes that people consider us in our community. Nikita.
Okay, thanks, Jewel. So what I'm going to say is, some things that were missed that we can bring out, and then I'm going to actually, I agree with Jewel. We see a lot of things, and we talk about a lot of things, and we like TV, we like movies, we like I wasn't watching that P-Valley, and Jewel watched, and I'm like probably the only person in the universe that hasn't watched P-Valley, because even my brothers watch P-Valley. And I started watching P-Valley, and I was like, oh my God, this is so good. This is good TV, you know, because I've been watching all the King, Queen, whatever it is with Eva Pickford. I was watching that show, and I was like, oh my God, you know, it was traumatizing. but I'm watching this Beauty in Black, and I'm glad it's doing so well on Netflix, because it is a good show. It really is. It's just, you know, as with anything, we all have our questions. I will say, because we're going to be preparing for part two coming up, I don't know when it's going to come up, the end of the show, because we're kind of keeping it short and sweet. It's 8 episodes in season 2, part 1. You know, you have Crowned in Beauty, When the Tables Turn, Blaze of Beauty, the next chapter, Hunter's Prey. This one, I think when Rain goes to the club, and that's what we were talking about, and, you know, Charles brings the boy back, what Jewel was talking about, bringing the young gentleman. Like, I couldn't believe he was bringing a stranger back to that house. I mean, is that real? I don't know. Someone needs to probably talk about that. And then getting himself in a situation. Then The Enemy of My Enemy, where Rain and Alex handle cleanup duty. That's, you know, interestingly enough, when a vicious insult leaves Roy dripping with rage, and Kimmy's poolside breakfast comes with a side of shade. That one was interesting because this is just before the big meeting, right? And Roy, he acts like such a tough guy, but he's getting led astray by a dancer. Bruh, you are a corporate dude, and you like strong women because your wife is super strong, who you cheat on all the time. And you like Kimmy because she has that in her. But I think that the things that he's attracted to or whatever, it's questionable. It's questionable about young Roy and his idea of what being the leader of a company is. And Gloves Off, where Kimmy shows the Bellaries who's boss. Now I'm going to say this. I did like that. I did like when she came in to introduce herself in the corporate. And then even when she was supposed to keep the earbud in and she busted out some secrets. Now, we normally do like major, but you all need to watch this. You need to watch this. We usually break the spoilers down. But there's so much to this. You have to catch it. And if you're interested in any part that we've said, like, I wonder what they're talking about. Let me go check that out. Yeah. You should go check that out because it's interesting. It's interesting how she transforms from a young girl who is naive to being a stripper. And you know, this is season one, working at strip club. And by the way, no shade on strippers. Work is work, and that's what it is. Okay. And then now Horace making her, you know, the boss of his company. And my mind is like, what's he going to do if he gets better? Is he going to fire her as the boss of the company? And then, you know, as she kind of, you know, tries to check Angie, tries to check who plays the matriarch of the family. I keep calling her Angie because all my children, y'all that love all my children, you know, okay, the mom. And I think that when we see she brings Roy in there and she's reading him for Phil, and then the wife Mallory comes in there and tries to check her because she eats women for whatever. She wasn't eating nothing but her own choking back her own nonsense because Kimmy did a good job with that. But I think this is where Horace is wondering, she's doing too much because she researched and she looked it up. And then when you have Gloves Off, and then the stable situation with Sylvie, and we find out Sylvie's not as innocent as we thought. That's the problem. And Jules realizes that, you know, the officer Alec, right? And remember, I said, get the tea on that, okay? Because I believe there's some tea there, because I'm shady too sometimes, okay? Officer Alex Brian Tanaka, who plays the guy again who's supporting Rain. When we look at that and we think, okay, what's happening? What Jewel is gonna probably, you know, I don't know. I hope he doesn't kill the dude. He seems to be an important role. But Jewel's son gets caught up with Sylvie, and that's when we're gonna go into part two and really pay attention. But in the boardroom, the very last episode, I thought it was pretty brilliant. And I also thought when Charles came in with the red and was like, you all aren't helping me. And then Rain is having her situation and Officer Alex helps her. And then, you know, we're seeing this dynamic with the alternate players. You know, we know Kimmy and Mallory and Roy are the main players and Horace, right? And the mom. But the alternate players, you know, are having a big part of this show, which I love that because it allows you all to get to know these actors and actresses and to see their range in this show. And I just think the next episode, you're like, what's going to happen? Is Horace going to get better? Is Jewel's son going to get better? Is Charles going to jail because, you know, chopped these people up and lawyer is caught there and these people are in their house. Are they real police? Are they bad guys? What is happening? Is this a sting? It was a good hanger. It was a good cliffhanger, as they say. So I can't wait to see the next episode. I'm kind of happy that we're doing this. This is not one of our normal ones, but I can tell you, I enjoyed the show, but I want to be honest because, you know, there are people that talk about these shows and all they do is either super, super negative or way too positive. And I believe you should tell the truth about what you watch. There's good and there's bad in everything that we watch, but it is not our job to diminish the person who makes the movie, but to make an assessment as viewers, why we like it, why we don't like it, and what we don't like about it. You know, and be honest without being derogatory. I think that's the problem. People are super derogatory without giving, you know, good reason. But you watched it, right? I don't love everything that I watch. I don't always like everything in every movie that I watch. That's actually a rarity. But there are some really good movies out there. And this is a really good show. I just hope that Mr. Perry understands that if there are people that will be offended, it would be an offense, because there are some things in there that are so stereotypical and derogatory that it's gratuitous, and in my opinion, doesn't need to be there. But it is a good show, and I want you all to recognize that. Let's be clear, we're talking about Mr. Perry. He did Mea Culpa, which I thought was good. 6888. He did, you know, with he was very involved with that. Fall from Grace, that was a good one. And we all know the Madea's, because I like the laugh, and Madea's funny. Okay. I understand Flip Wilson, and I understand humor. And I think that the things that some people take too serious in a time where this is not real life, y'all need to take real life more serious. That's how I feel, but I'm not judging. Do you, baby? But I thought this was good. And the Jasmine's Blues, he's got a very, very long resume. And I said on September the 26th will be Ruth and Boaz. The gentleman on Ruth and Boaz, which I think is great, also played in P-Valley, plays the bouncer in P-Valley. And he's been in a lot of own TV shows and a lot of Tyler Perry TV shows. So I love to see that. Tyler Lepley getting his due, and Saraya McNeil. This is a different kind of story. Babyface is in it. Felicia Rashad, who I love tremendously. I wanted to give that a shout out because I want to make sure you all watch that. I was lucky enough to, you know, kind of get a secret sauce look at that. But I think that that's dope. And it's coming on Netflix, and I don't want you all to miss it. This one I think is a different, it's about a winery and stuff. You can a vineyard. You can check it out, and just know that Tyler Perry stay busy, right? This Beauty in Black, can't wait for the part two. Jewel, you have the mic.
Thank you so much. Yeah, there's been so much that Tyler Perry's put out there that's been really groundbreaking and phenomenal. And there are things to laugh at, things to cry at, and definitely things to talk about. And so thank you. Thank you, Nikita, for letting us delve into something that we don't usually do. It was enjoyable for me. I enjoyed it, and I really respect all the actors that have done a good job on this show. If you have not checked it out, it's on Netflix. The part one of season two debuted on September 11th, and we're still waiting for a release date for the second part of Beauty in Black on Netflix. Nikita?
Oh my gosh, you're coming back so quick. I was, okay. Thank you for that, Jewel. I really hope you all watch it. I really hope you all, both of us actually, hope you all enjoy it. Even, you know, this is Blurred's Word. It's we are versatile people, and we watch many different things. And I am happy to see that you all are watching that. And let us know. Let us know what you think. And we will see you soon. Let Mr. Perry know. Yeah, I think that's important too. And let the actors and actresses know. I think it's cool that it is high up there in Netflix, and that Netflix is making its money. But I hope that they are making their money. Because I'm going to tell you something. Some of them acting, baby. Acting. Angie is acting. Okay, Horace is acting. I'm calling her Angie. Her name is Debbie Morgan, as Jewel pointed out to me earlier when I was like, Angie's doing her thing. she will forever be Angie to me. That's how you know I love soap operas. This is so good to me. It's a good show, and I love that Jewel has her up in the Tron, the Jumbotron, and her. I mean, she is, I think, legacy. Debbie Morgan, Miss Debbie Morgan, and I'm happy to see that. And so is Rico Ross, who plays Horace. He is legacy. Mr. Perry does do this very well, bring in people and ensure that people have work, and that I do like. I do like to see that. It gives, and that's respectful, and people need to work. We're in a recession, folks. So when I see this, you know, it really puts it into perspective for me. You know what I mean? And they're acting, you know, because if you are familiar with their work, you know they are very versatile, very versatile. So I'm impressed. I mean, but again, and to be fair, I have to say sometimes that stereotypical stuff, it kind of, I don't know, rubs me the wrong way. But I understand that it's not real life, even though real life situations like these are happening. But I do feel like, you know, we have to, and this is just my feeling, and I'm sure I don't want to speak for Jewel or anyone else out there. This is me, Nikita. I don't think that we as Black people, okay, whether we're in the entertainment or whatever, should feed the stereotype or the negative narrative that people think about us. And I'm at times uncomfortable with sometimes this derogatory view that is shown, because I know we know better, and I know we do better. And it was gratuitous because it wasn't necessary for the storyline, which in and of itself is a very good storyline. Now, I'm not some famous person, and I am not some, you know, journalist, and I am a regular person that watches TV. And let's be clear, you make movies and TV for regular people. I am not a bot. I am a human being. And this is what I saw, and this is how I saw it. And man, we can do better. And Mr. Perry has done better in making many, many movies. This isn't a fail for it. I just think that if this continues, I would like for it not to be so much a lot of that trifling stereotyping, because come on now. Let's be clear. In real life, that young boy would have got the snot slapped out of him. And that young girl calling that driver what she's calling him, and him allowing it, a job is not worth that kind of humiliation. Even though some people would say, yeah, I do. No, you won't. You're not going to sit up there and allow people just call you anything out of your name. I think that there has to be a point where we can make movies without doing that. And Mr. Perry can do that because I've seen the movies that he's done that I've liked tremendously without that. So we hope to see you again. And Jewel, if we are getting ready to close out, I'm going to send the mic over to you. Jewel.
Thank you. No, I agree. It's never funny or positively impacted when stereotypes demean us constantly, because it just enables those of a different demographic to laugh at us without the context of living in our skin and our lives. So I agree with that. And there are so many more things that we can enjoy. And there is potential for this wonderful show to rise above that. So thank you. Thank you so much. It's a good show. People, check it out and see if you like it. Thank you, Nikita.
Thank you, Jewel. So we mentioned this in the rewind. Everybody's all watching it. So dope. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. Thank you so much if you're sharing us with other people. And, you know, we're new to the game of podcasting, and we hope to be around for a while. we'll get it together. Please mask up out there. Please be safe out there. Please stay free, stay happy, stay joyful, and keep checking out the Blurreds, you know, and our BBOL show. Want to thank you. Have a great day, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.